Next on BYUSN, what is the path to the college football playoff for BYU? And how bumpy did it get after the loss to Texas Tech? Former BYU and NFL linebacker Brian Keel joins us, and we'll ask him his thoughts on the gap between the Cougars and Red Raiders.
Men's Hoops is ranked 7th in the latest AP poll and hosts the Fightin' Blue Hens of Delaware tonight, so why are we focused on Saturday's game instead? And dual threat analyst Blaine Fowler's in the house to talk about tonight's college football playoff rankings and bouncing back after the loss.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Tuesday, November 11th. Hope all of you are enjoying Veterans Day. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who appreciates a good basketball analyst, Jerem Jordan.
Bill Raftery is going to be on the BYU UConn call on Fox Saturday.
Fantastic.
7 Eastern in Boston. That'll be fun. Onions! Can't wait to hear some of those. So that'll be fun. I like Raftery. I know certain people are an acquired taste. Dickie V, the late Bill Walton, Bill Raftery, and so on and so forth. These are some of the faces of college hoops, which is fun.
Send it in, Jerome!
Yeah, I get that one, too. I get that one, too, when people can't pronounce my name correctly.
It's a big-time game. Number 3 versus number 7.
Can't
More
wait.
On that in a little bit. All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
In the AP poll, with BYU dropping a couple of spots, they didn't chuck them way to the back. They're 8-1. They're ahead of schedule by 2 games to me. You have to have the chance to play for a conference title. That has to be the next step for this team. They're too good not to be in that space.
BYU has everything to play for. Week 2 of the college football playoff rankings set for release tonight. BYU was number 7. Big loss in Lubbock at Texas Tech. Now everybody wondering, where in the world will the Cougars show up? I put out my opinion late on Saturday night following the results. Jerem, I'm guessing you feel similar to me, but let's just put it on record. Where do you think BYU is going to show up in tonight's college football playoff projection?
Certainly feels like 11 or 12 is kind of the consensus. I agree with that.
I think, 11 at best, and there is the backstop with Utah and that head-to-head win, assuming Utah stays at number 13. So we shall see, but maybe...
Somehow Utah lost the bye week.
BYU beat bye.
That's the hope.
Or Utah, yeah, Utah lost to bye, and
yes.
BYU was the,
yes.
The beneficiary.
On the year.
Okay, follow-up question, and the one that carries the most weight here. What's the current path for BYU to get into the college football playoff?
So we're talking about the at-large, because obviously if BYU wins out and they win the Big 12 title game, they're in.
That's
so
the auto bid.
Let's assume, let's just throw that one out there first. Okay, to me there's a couple of things. One, you don't just win the next 3, Spence. You have to win a couple of those convincingly.
Really? Winning is not enough against good competition.
Because I'm not sure that on Selection Sunday, if BYU has 2 losses, let's assume they win the next 3, they lose the Big 12 title game. How you play that Big 12 title game will matter, too. See SMU last year. They had 1 loss. They went into the ACC championship game. They were up on Clemson. Clemson comes back. SMU storms back. And yep. SMU did it go to OT, or it finished with a field goal, I think, at the very end. They played this kind of crazy game. They played it tight. They got in. I don't see a scenario where BYU plays Texas Tech again and loses big. Let's say big is 3 scores, 17-plus.
Okay.
That's why 17-plus exists in the beginning, by the way, because to me that's a blowout. I don't know that a 2-loss team in that situation, the committee will go, they got blown out twice, and they deserve to be in. I hope they just go, Texas Tech's awesome. Look at BYU against everybody else. Let's put them in. They deserve to be in. That's what I hope. So, 1, win the next 3. You need to win a couple of those convincingly. Like, pound TCU 31-10 or something. Beat Cincinnati 24-7. Beat UCF 38-7, those type of things. I'm not saying all 3, but you need to show that you don't just escape against Arizona and Colorado and whoever. Like, you need to get some quality wins against quality teams, okay? That shows you bounced back from Texas Tech. It shows you're getting better. You're not just a survive in advance. Although 11-1 at the end of the regular season would be 11-1.
Are you kidding me?
That's awesome. But it's not about that, because you start to then compare against other 11-1. So you need some metrics. That's why Utah has this good perception right now. They've blown out a couple of fools that were perceived as being decent, Cincinnati notably. And BYU doesn't have that sort of thing. They have the head-to-head against Utah, don't get me wrong. And they have a similar blowout to Texas Tech. Okay, two, play a competitive Big 12 title game. You can't get blown out again and be like, we totally should be in, I think.
BYU has to play. Texas Tech is ranked number one or number two in the country.
They won't. They won't. They won't be that high. Number three, hope that the ACC champ is inside the top 10 so that the number 11 team makes the playoff. As we talked about with Trevor, it's not the top 12 teams, right? It's the G5 champ. If they're outside the top 12, they get in. So now it's down to 11. If the ACC champ is not inside the top 10, then it's now a team outside that. So now only the top 10 would get in. So you're kind of rooting for an ACC team to be
a
little more competitive.
Yeah, yeah.
So that if BYU's number 11, Spence, on Selection Sunday, they are in, not out.
Because if the ACC team, the best ACC team is number 11, then they're taking the 11 spot, and the group of five team, or the group of six team, rather, is taking the number 12 spot.
Yes. So this is why you want the ACC champ to be
BYU has to be in the top 10 after a hypothetical Big 12 championship loss.
Do we think that would happen?
If they win the next three, that's why this matters tonight. Where does BYU show up tonight?
Let's say they're 11.
Then I think that BYU's in great position to, if they win the next 3 weeks, climb back up toward number 7 or number 8, because there will be significant carnage up above them in the next 3 weeks.
And then you have to play a competitive game with Texas Tech.
Then you have a good shot to still be in the top 10, and you're just in.
And then you're in. But if you're 11, Spence,
then you need the ACC team.
Then you could be out.
Because a group of six teams, there's no way. They might not even be ranked.
Right.
In the top 25.
James Madison, Memphis, Tulane, shout out Jake. Number four, hope that Utah continues to look great, because that's your best win.
This is tricky.
Utah, to me, for BYU to have a chance at an at-large, Utah needs to continue to win and look really good. If Utah's 10-2 at the end of the regular season and they're on the cusp, they don't deserve to be ahead of BYU. They don't. And so BYU would have, hey, look at that win. Look at that win.
This is tricky for BYU fans.
Yes, it is.
Because now it's all contingent on BYU winning the final three, and then you're just in. But if you get to the tiebreak scenario, we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about the easiest path to the college football playoff.
Yes.
But the emotions are very, very divided there for BYU fans, because naturally you're like, okay, well, I'd like a little bit of breathing room. And if Utah loses, then that grants BYU to a measure a little bit of that breathing room. But if you want your resume to look the best, win your final three, and yes, Utah continues to look dominant.
So with that criteria I just brought up, Ohio State and Indiana, Texas A&M, they don't have any losses. They're getting in. They're going to get in. They could lose a couple times, probably still get in. Bama, Georgia, Ole Miss, Oregon, Tech with two losses feel like they're probably in too. That's 8 plus the G5 champ. That's 9. There's three other spots. Notre Dame with two losses is going to get in. They're Notre Dame. That means there's two other spots. One goes to the ACC champ. One other spot. It's going to be crowded. So BYU is going to compete, as of now, with the likes of Georgia Tech, Texas, Oklahoma, Vandy. Maybe others that sort of slide up. Maybe there's an ACC team. 3 weeks plus the title game. There's lots that could happen still. But BYU clearly, obviously, needs to win the next three, play a competitive Big 12 title game. I need to see some style points.
Okay.
Like, BYU might have to graduate from just winning to winning with some oomph against TCU and or Cincinnati.
So here's what I'm talking about, the carnage up above. Yeah. Just this week, Alabama hosts Oklahoma. So right there.
Oklahoma could get knocked out of the at-large combo.
Oklahoma's a 7-point underdog. They're playing in Tuscaloosa.
They would get a third loss if they lose to Alabama.
Every BYU fan, huge Alabama fan this week to get Oklahoma out.
Yep.
Texas, I believe the following week, so that week of November 17th to the 23rd, Texas plays a top 10 team, and I'm trying to remember who it is in the moment.
They have A&M last week.
Texas too. Is at Georgia.
Texas will lose one or two more. So they probably.
So 2 weeks from now, everybody's a huge Georgia fan rooting for Georgia to beat up on Texas
and
in Athens. Some carnage up above.
But if they beat A&M, they get launched forward.
So here's my retort, if you will, to BYU needing to win with style points. BYU hasn't really blown out anybody this year, and it got them to number 7. There is power in winning. The playoff committee has made that very clear. And I know what you're saying.
I agree, before November.
To bolster the resume. But SMU last year beat a very mediocre Duke team late in the season by 1 point, 28-27. And then SMU beat a bad Boston College team last year, and it was close. They won 38-28. They just won. And so if BYU can just win the final three, and then I think it's most important to what you said, look competitive in a rematch of the Big 12 championship game.
AKA, if you're within 10, that looks
competitive. So BYU just wins. Like, if they beat TCU by one this week and beat Cincinnati by three, and they're scraping by, and then beat UCF by 10, whatever. You won the final three. You got to Arlington. Now, can you look competitive? That, to me, is like, okay, this is a college football playoff team. Did you look competitive against a team that blew you out in Lubbock? How have you responded? If you're number 8 or number 9 in the country and you look competitive against a number 5 or number 6 Texas Tech, now I feel like you're a legitimate at-large college football playoff team.
I would hope so, too, but I get nervous thinking about, what if Bama, Georgia, Ole Miss, Oregon, Texas Tech, Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, Texas, Oklahoma, Vandy, if and when they have two losses and the resumes are compared, will BYU stand above them when there's so few spots? That's where I get nervous.
Three losses. Again, it becomes the conversation that was apparent last year.
I'm not talking about three losses. Right. I'm kind of talking about two losses.
The Georgia, but I think, I'm just telling you, Texas and Oklahoma, as we just chronicled, I believe we'll have three losses. So the argument that they're going to be there.
Texas only has two and they get a win against A&M?
Well, then that
will be thrown into it.
They got to play A&M and Alabama. I don't see them winning both of those games. I just don't. So I don't know.
I don't either. But if they somehow do.
What have they shown thus far to suggest that they're going to win against Texas A&M and Alabama?
I don't know. It's crazy. Penn State has shown us nothing, and then they almost beat Indiana.
The singular game, right? The outlier?
Yes, but it's just I don't want to feel like because BYU didn't win and have some style points in a couple of games that they didn't get included.
The style points in the final game are going to be the loudest. If they just get
for sure. For sure. And like 11-1 regular season BYU, they should be a playoff team. They absolutely should. But my fear is if you get a second loss in the Big 12 title game and you're sitting against a couple SEC teams and Big 10 teams that didn't have to play in a title game and get the loss, I would hope that BYU is not penalized as much as maybe I'm fearing.
Our question of the day.
This is all fun, by the way. College football playoff.
ESPN gives BYU a 45% chance right now of making the college football playoff. Are you more or less confident than that 45%, BYU fans?
I'm less, by the way.
Half and half. I'm probably just a tick over that. Yeah.
Because it requires three wins, and then it requires a competitive Big 12 title game.
I think
within BYU's control right now.
Yeah. Rise and shout out at PNW Coug says more than 45%. I see Texas Tech as the tide that lifts the ships in the Big 12, both BYU and Utah. Given the trajectory of the Big 12, expecting those three teams to win out and the slide of the ACC, I expect to see two Big 12 teams in the playoff.
That'd be great. And hey, again, if you just win the Big 12 title game, you are in. We're talking about the at-large scenarios.
All right, Jerm, here is your blue goggle response from at Long LPA. Says, more, 100%, yeah. Because a conference championship is an auto bid, and that's what BYU will be.
This just in. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Texas Tech head coach Joey McGuire complimented BYU while taking a shot at an unnamed school, Notre Dame. Listen to this.
Against a great opponent, I have so much respect for BYU. I do, man. I was really excited whenever they joined the Big 12 because I think that they carry a lot of weight and a lot of respect. I think that I have a lot of respect for them entering a conference and not playing an independent schedule like other people. Y'all already know who that is. And so I have a lot of respect for that. I mean, they're earning their right just like everybody but a couple of people in the nation are earning their right through conference play.
What do you make of those comments?
A not so subtle jab at the school everybody knows he's talking about in Notre Dame. Joey McGuire has great respect for Kalani Sitake, and you're coming off a situation where there was great mutual respect leading up to the game. BYU fans collaborated and helped Yvonne, the barber for Texas Tech, and raised a bunch of money. There was a lot of goodwill last week. There was no hate week at Texas Tech, which is atypical. They literally are like, who's the opponent? It's hate week for that team.
By the way, Spitgate didn't even get brought up. Like, it just didn't matter.
It's all gone aside. And so I feel like Joey McGuire, in a way, kind of feels like he needs to put BYU under his wing after they beat him because he wants what's best for the Big 12 Conference. And he needs BYU to be a quality win to help Texas Tech's resume.
Cause. It helps their
absolutely
seating.
Rising tides, as was just mentioned a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
I do appreciate that he goes to bat for a team like BYU and the Big 12 Conference. Notre Dame is not your typical independent. They still play a very difficult schedule. Their two losses are against Miami and Texas A&M, and they've looked really good in a number of games.
They played well in those games, right?
Yeah, I would love to see Notre Dame have to traverse a conference, no doubt, but as currently constructed, they've earned the right to kind of continue to do what they're doing.
When Texas Tech or BYU gets the four horsemen, Joe Montana, Rudy, Touchdown Jesus, their own NBC. Like, Notre Dame sort of earned this, have they not?
They played in the national championship game last year.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I respect Notre Dame a lot. Is it sort of annoying that with two losses, they're like a surefire college football playoff team?
Yes.
Every year?
That is annoying.
That's kind of annoying. But honestly, I respect sort of the schedule and what they do. And I don't know. I like the Golden Domers. I'm not in the same category as Joe McGuire, although I appreciate his love of BYU. Listen, we weren't trying to play an independent schedule. We just had to because there was nothing better. We wanted to do our own thing after leaving the Mountain West, you know, so that's interesting. It's interesting.
Well, just root against Notre Dame if you don't like it. Like, and they have at least one other challenge this year. So, yeah. Hope that Notre Dame picks up a third loss and it doesn't even become a thing.
They're probably out.
It doesn't even become a thing.
Yeah.
Like, the rootables in the next few weeks are...
They play ranked Pitt.
Extra juicy.
Syracuse and the mighty Stanford Cardinals.
Oh, man. Everybody's a huge Pitt fan. Huge Pitt fan.
Maybe Notre Dame's out after this week.
And Pitt's playing some good football. All right. Let's keep it rolling. BYU men's basketball up to number 7 in the newest AP poll, setting up a matchup with number 3 UConn in Boston at TD Garden on Saturday. Jerem, question is this the biggest regular season game for BYU since Jimmermania was unleashed against San Diego State in a top 10 matchup back in 2011?
I mean, I think it is. You could argue there have been tourney games that were big, but just like regular season, what are you ranked? What are we ranked? This, by the way, was the greatest sporting event I've ever been to. It was unbelievable. BYU's 7, UConn's 3. I mean, this is a real great litmus test to see where BYU's at. Because if BYU wins, they'll be shoved inside the top 5, just like Arizona was when they beat Florida last week. So it's a good opportunity. BYU doesn't have to win it to accomplish XYZ really right now. It'd be great if BYU went and competed, played well. If they lose, it's not a big deal. It's a regular season men's basketball game. There's time to make stuff up. But it would really be impressive if they did.
I only have one other game that I think could take that place, and that was in 2020 when BYU was number 23 and Gonzaga was number 2. Because of when it happened, it was senior night, and
BYU
absolutely had to have that game to bolster the resume, going into the West Coast Conference tournament, to solidify their NCAA tournament status.
Unfortunately, BYU just lost the next game to St. Mary's. Like, it didn't.
And then nobody
carry
got
over
nobody got to play COVID. In the NCAA tournament.
If this
COVID
game was at home, we'd be making a bigger deal about it.
Yeah, it's a neutral site.
Because it's neutral and it's way far away.
Super early
and
in
early,
the season.
It's just kind of like, and football's still going. It's sort of on the back burner, but I'm like, No. Look at this matchup. It's on Fox on national TV on a Saturday in the middle of football season.
It's incredible.
With Raftery, as we mentioned. But
because it is in the crossover of football season, it's not going to get the love that it usually would.
This is big time. And BYU hasn't built to a moment like they did in the Mountain West with San Diego State. That was a moment. Jimmermania was happening. So a little different, but to me, regular season, biggest game since then.
The context of the game I brought up in 2020 probably gives, in my opinion, the edge to that game. The storm the court, like, it just meant so much.
No one's going to storm the court at TD Bank Garden.
And you beat number 2 on your home.
Maybe AJ's relatives will. Maybe they'll storm the court after. In ESPN's NBA Big Board, they released the following. AJ DiBonta ranks 2nd overall behind Darren Peterson of Kansas. Richie Saunders ranks 70th. Which of these two rankings elicits a stronger reaction?
This is easy. It's Richie. I think Richie is a middle second round pick. So I know that being 70th on the big board doesn't necessarily ruin Richie's stock. but that number's low for me. I would anticipate that he'd be closer to somewhere between 45 and 55. So that one gets the stronger reaction.
You're saying on where he'll be picked? Is that what you're saying? Or where you think he should be on the big board? Because just because he's 70, I know they're doesn't matter.
That's what I said. The precursor was, I know they're different.
Well, what are you saying with 45 to 55?
But I would still think that on the big board, he should be somewhere in that range between 45 and 55. Number 70 overall is a little low for me.
70 is perfect because it's the beginning of the season. It's fine. If he was 70, it's just one team in the second round that likes you. It doesn't matter. You could be 82nd.
I just think he's better than that.
And it's ESPN's big board.
I think he's a better player than 70.
This isn't a combination of the GM's opinions. This is an ESPN writer saying,
I know,
this is where
I'm offering my opinion on that opinion.
I know, I'm not talking about yours. Yeah. I'm just talking about the 70. That BYU, yeah, Richie's in a good spot. That's great. Because if Richie's 70 on draft day, boom, baby, he's in position.
Let's discuss another opinion of Bracketology released later this morning. BYU a 3 seed right now, according to Joe Lunardi. They would face Utah Valley in an opening round game in Portland. Would you take that 3 versus 14 matchup right now?
It's fun because Utah Valley, it's fun because Portland and 3 seed. I want to see if BYU go a little higher. I really do. I think 3 seed would be awesome. That'd be great. That'd tie the highest seed in program history. That'd be amazing. I want to play it out. I want to play it out. Although that scenario is pretty juicy, but I wonder if BYU can get a 2.
I'd take it right now. The location, the matchup, the 3 seed. How much of a difference is it really between the 2 and the 3 for a team like BYU? For me, at that point, it's more about where you're going. You're going to have a good contingent of your fan base. Yes, in the Pacific Northwest. Is the matchup good? Absolutely. And BYU both times, they've been a 3 seed. Well, the last time they were a 3 seed, I said they had a very, relatively speaking, easy path to the Sweet 16. You get to the Sweet 16, and now you have an opportunity to face maybe the 2 seed to get to the Elite Eight. But it's a 3 versus a 2. If BYU were the 2 seed, would it change that much? It makes your first round matchup maybe a little bit easier. And a 7 seed facing a 7 seed compared to a 6 seed in the second round. I don't know. Yeah, so I'd take it right now based on location and matchup.
Does the BYU have a 2-game losing streak to Utah Valley? I don't want to play Utah Valley. I'm kidding. Women's soccer gets a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament. They'll host Utah State, Mountain West Champs, on Friday. What do you make of the matchup and the seeding?
I can't believe that BYU is in this position. 2 weeks ago, we didn't know if they would be in their conference postseason tournament. So the fact that they get to host Utah State on their home field is absolutely incredible. They're playing with a ton of momentum. They're very hungry to change the tenor of what playing on home field meant this season. So, yeah, I love the matchup. I expect BYU to get to the second round.
I didn't think BYU would miss the NCAA tournament, and they probably were going to host anyway. So I don't know that the Big 12 title like changed a ton in terms of matchup or home game, but the fact that you're a 5 seed and you're on fire and you feel like you can go on this run, that's the thing that matters.
Momentum.
That doesn't show itself up in that stuff. But where BYU is at emotionally and physically is amazing. Number 7, BYU men's basketball hosts the Fightin' Blue Hens of Delaware tonight at the Marriott Center. Pre-game coverage, we got you. 8 Eastern on BYU TV, BYU Radio as well, coming up tonight.
After the break, what does former BYU and NFL linebacker Brian Keel think the gap is between BYU and Texas Tech? And what does he think of the Cougars' college football playoff chances? This is BYUSN. You go through all of the scenarios in your head, and now it's like, okay, what now? BYU is still in that driver's seat. You go win the next 3 games, you're there. And there's not anything that any other team in the conference can do about it if you win those 3 games. We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. Joining us now, as promised, former BYU and NFL linebacker Brian Keel on the program to discuss what in the world happened in Lubbock and what it means for BYU's college football playoff chances. Brian Keel, back on BYUSN. How are you this morning, Brian?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, fellas.
You got it. Okay, let's just go ahead and start with what happened on Saturday. From your vantage point, where did it initially go wrong for BYU, and why could they not recover like they have done so often this season?
Well, it was a top 10 team at their place. That's what happened. And Yes, I mean, there's a couple things. I was just kind of looking at some numbers and looking at some flow of the game. There's two things that stand out to me. The first one, obvious, is the muff punt. And I was talking to somebody the other day, not about college, I can't remember, just talking about sports. Oh, it was about a Little League. Anyway, their championship game that they had just had. And he's talking about momentum. And this was for 10-year-olds. He was talking about a championship game and momentum and how it swung and blah, blah, blah. And if you look at that game, that muffed punt was just a huge momentum shift for Texas Tech. And credit the defense, who had them to 3 points instead of seven there, which was huge. But it was still a momentum shift. It changed the game. Like think about the flip side. What if Parker Kingston gets a 40-yard return there and we get a field goal or a touchdown? It just those types of things swing the momentum. And it's like that for any game. And when the opponent is that good, it swings it that much more. So that was huge. And then we get the ball back, go three and out, which was not great. Punt it back to them. We had a good punt. It was down on like the 8-yard line. And so here's a great chance for us to pin them and get the ball back in good field position. But instead, we give up like a 37-yard pass on 3rd and 6. And then they ended up scoring on that drive. We go down 10-0. Those two plays, that 37-yard 3rd and 6 that we had a chance to pick it, we just kind of misplayed the ball in the air. And then obviously the muff punt. If you flip those two plays, the entire ball game looks different. So, yeah, people are like, what's the gap between BYU and Texas Tech? Texas Tech's a good football team, but we're right there. And the game, the outcome, the final score is not so indicative of the couple things that happened their way throughout the game that got it to where it finished. So I'm not that concerned. You fix those things. We can play with those guys.
So you feel like if those two plays were different, BYU would not have had only 255 yards of total offense?
No, the game would have looked differently. So we got behind, and they're a phenomenal defense. And when you get behind, that other team's D-line pins their ears back, and they know you can't be balanced. You got to press. You can't just run your offense. It just it steamrolls is what it does. And that's what kind of happened. So if those two plays don't happen, that doesn't mean we go score 40 points. I'm just saying the game looks differently. Obviously, you know, we could have played a lot better on offense. Special teams was terrible. Special teams been great all year. This is the first game where special teams was really poor. We won the turnover battle all year. We were -3 in the turnovers. False starts. We had drops, like critical drops that from guys who don't normally drop the ball. And those are just, they're drive killers, they're momentum killers, they suck the wind out of offense. And when your offense is like on life support, looking for a spark, needing something to get going, and you have those drops, and there was one of them where it could have had some significant catch and run, and an explosive play, which we didn't have the whole game, explosive plays. That's the type of stuff that you just never get going. And so, yeah, the game was disappointing, but what I'm saying is it could have looked a lot differently, and I'm not as depressed about it as a lot of people are. That's what I'm saying.
Brian Keel is on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, Brian, now it gets to the tricky part where BYU's got to get right mentally and not let this tough game slip into now back-to-back losses like it did last year in a similar situation where BYU lost to Kansas and then they had to go to Arizona State, which was a tough task, lose a tough game. So now BYU is trying to rally and start another win streak. What is your advice or maybe your take on how BYU does that properly to get right for TCU and get back on a winning path?
Yeah, so I may or may not have said this on the show before. One of the best speeches I ever heard was from Lou Holtz at the Vegas Bowl. Can't remember which year. He spoke to us at a luncheon, and he talked about this win formula. What's important now? And he said that is the key to football. Good things happen, bad things happen, and it's all about now. Now what? Now what? What's important now? So back to BYU this season. We lost. We played bad. We stubbed our toe. National stage, all that, blah, blah, blah. Well, what's important now? The next game. We go finish and take care of business. The next game, you flush this. You learn what you can from it. You glean what you can from it. And you take those lessons and those nuggets to improve your play in the next game. And you just go back to work. And that's my confidence in this team is extremely high. And throughout the season, they have seen adversity and they have responded appropriately. So I expect them to, that's what I expect now. They've shown us they can do it. So now they've set that bar. They've set that expectation. So I expect them to be right back to business this week at home against an old foe.
Texas Tech, they put their pitch on the same way we do. TCU and BYU. You played against TCU a bunch of times in the Mountain West. This is a team that hasn't visited Provo since 09. They got BYU pretty good in 23. Different BYU, different TCU. Obviously, Josh Hoover and that passing attack are really good, eighth in the country. What do you make of the matchup in a game that BYU has to win?
Yeah, I love the TCU matchup. I'm still bugged. They beat us in overtime, 51-50.
Yeah, 05.
And I'm still bugged about that game.
Brutal.
And,
I hate that one, too.
I think we had a 17-point lead, and we blew it. And then we beat them the next 2 years, which was great. Great memories with TCU. They've been a great program for a long time, going back, you know, back to the good old days. But just a storied program, and then they're not right now what they have been. They still got players, they still got dudes, and you got to show up. And that's where it's like back to our team and back to what's important now, Lou Holtz. It's go take care of business, go play football the way you can. And the things that I want to see, I don't want to see drop balls. I don't want to see muff punts. I don't want to see false starts. I don't want to see missed tackles. I don't want to see so many explosive plays. Like, our defense played great against a very good Texas Tech team, but we gave them way too many explosive plays, and everybody sung our defense's praises for bowing up in the red zone or holding them to field goals. But it's like, don't let them get to the red zone in the first place with these big explosive plays. And we gave up too many of those. So those are the things that I want to see our team respond and clean up and play, go back to playing a balanced full football game, offense, defense, special teams, which they're capable of. And get back on track. That's what I want to see.
All right, Brian, in the final minute, why should BYU fans believe that this team will be different than last year's squad and this team will figure out a way to win the final three regular season games and get to a Big 12 championship game?
Yeah, I think you just look throughout the year and they've been down before and responded. And it started, I think it was week four, Colorado, just like that. They're down 14 points And I was just so impressed. And it's not like Colorado's a great team this year, but it's still on the road and they still got guys. And you're down 14 points with a true freshman quarterback. And our guys didn't bat an eye and they battled back and won. And that's not the only time that they've come back from a double digit deficit. And they're battle tested. They've been through adversity and picked themselves back up and got back on track. So that's why I expect them to do that again. And I think these three opponents, I expect us to beat all three of them. I expect Texas Tech to win out, and I expect us to play them again in the championship game, and I expect us to play better.
Let's go. Expectations, we love to hear. Brian, great to talk to you, man. Good stuff as always. Let's do it again soon.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
All right, the great Brian Keel on BYU Sports Nation.
Wish Brian could play Saturday, you know, out there with Glasker and Kelly. That'd be awesome.
You know,
Glasker is kind of like Brian Keel nowadays.
He's a guy that I honestly believe could probably go a series or two still today.
I know, right? Looks like he's in great shape. That beard, I don't know, but yeah, let's go. BYU football with Kalani Sitake returns tomorrow night. Normally it's Tuesday nights, but we got a basketball game tonight. So tomorrow night, 8:30 Eastern, as they look back at Texas Tech, look ahead to TCU Wednesday at 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app.
After the break, BYU tight end Carson Ryan fired up over that loss to Texas Tech. He explains his thoughts on how BYU gets right for TCU. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's roll out today's headlines, sponsored by BYU Continuing Education, helping or inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Cougar football prepares for its first home game with TCU since 2009 this Saturday. Tight end Carson Ryan wasn't happy about Saturday's loss, but it's also about looking ahead.
If I hate losing, and you know, we had opportunity to do something great this year and go 12-0, and we lost that chance, but you know, it's whatever. You just move on to the next, and right now we got TCU next, and you know, our destiny's still in our hands. We just gotta go out and perform and, you know, bounce back as an offense, especially.
BYU find out tonight. It's new ranking in the college football playoff poll at 7 Eastern time.
BYU women's soccer earns a number 5 seed in the NCAA tournament. They will host in-state rival Utah State Friday night, 8 Eastern at South Field. A win on Friday would have the Cougars facing the winner of Pepperdine and number 4 seed UCLA, who BYU saw earlier this season on Saturday. Also in other soccer news, Ellie Walbrook, Lucy Kessler, Izzy Stratton, and Chelsea Peterson all named to the Big 12 All-Tournament team following the Cougars' run to a conference championship.
Number 7 men's basketball hosts the Fighting Blue Hens of Delaware tonight. Pre-game on BYU TV and BYU Radio starting at 8 Eastern time.
Speaking of men's hoops, A.J. DiBonsa named to the Big 12 starting 5 for his excellent play last week. DiBonsa averaged 19.7 rebounds and 3 assists in his first 2 games of his collegiate career and shot 57% from the field.
Women's volleyball stays inside the top 25 at number 23 in the latest ABCA rankings. Just 1 game this week at Utah Friday night.
A reminder, after further review, what does Blaine Fowler dislike and like in that loss at Texas Tech? He'll tell us next on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
If they don't make it to the Big 12 championship game now, I'm gonna be very disappointed.
Are we doing double-digit dunks yet? I lost count.
That dunk is the easiest one. He just made that look like, oh, no big deal. That was just simple.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Station. We are live in Studio B, and after further review, we have decided to let Blaine Fowler come back on the program.
We did?
Uncle B is back. We thought it through. Call stands. Welcome back, Blaine.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
It's a catch.
This is a fun time of year. Crossover season. Basketball, football. We'll start with the football because tonight the college football playoff rankings will be released second time this season. What kind of path do you see for BYU to get in the playoff, and how will tonight's ranking factor into that?
Yeah, I think they would hope for an 11 or better, but the fact of the matter is it's very likely going to be a 12 tonight, which puts them in a position where they have to be impressive the next 3 weeks to climb back up to what I would call safe territory, right? If they win out, then they're completely in control of their own destiny. So if they win and then they go beat Texas Tech in the championship game for the Big 12, then there's no question, right? That's the best way to do it. But I'm talking about where do they need to be for me to feel comfortable that with a close loss in the Big 12 championship game to Texas Tech, and I'm getting way ahead of myself, of course, but they could still have an at-large bid. I feel like they've got to be 10 or better to do that. If they're 12 tonight, it's harder to get to that, but it's doable if they win impressively the next 3 weeks. If they're 10 right now, I don't think they move if they just win the next 3 weeks. So isn't it strange that just 2 positions difference makes a big difference to me on whether or not I feel really comfortable that they just need to go win or whether I feel like they need to be impressive in their wins?
I said in the What's Trending segment in the A Block, that as we call it in the biz, that BYU probably needs some style points here. They haven't had it. Is this team good enough to expect style points? They win. Like, that's the bottom line. They should be credited with that, and we hope they will be at 11-1. My fear is if you're trying to out at large some really good teams out of the Big Ten and the SEC, you may need some late, just real nice punches of some style points. So is winning enough? Would 11-1, and if BYU does not, if they get 2 and do not win a Big 12 title game, but are competitive, and we should discuss what if they're not competitive too, are they still good in the at-large conversation? My fear is that the SEC strength of schedule and Big Ten and whatnot may supersede some of that. So that's why BYU needs some of these kind of metrically good moments. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Jeremy. I actually am. And it's, I think that regardless of what they do in the next 3 games, they have to play well against Texas Tech. And we're just assuming Texas Tech's not going to lose too, which,
yeah,
you know, they only have 2 games left. And I just, crazy things happen. Like, you go turn the ball over and you can lose. But let's just assume that Texas Tech's not going to do that because they've been so disciplined all year with the exception of one game where, by the way, they did turn the ball over and lost, right? But they go into there. I think even if you have style points going in, if you get blown out against Texas Tech, you're going to fall below because, remember, a G5 school has to get in there regardless of what the ranking is, right? So so that game, how they play, but they have to win three in a row. And I think they're very capable of winning. I'd like to think that the errors and the mistakes they made in this last game will get them fired up and they will come with an attention to detail and focus in these next three games and at least run away with a couple of those games. Cincinnati's going to be tough to run away from because they're good and it's on the road. But they have the ability to win these without question in my mind if they play well. So I'm really anxious to see how they bounce back. And I think this game this Saturday night can send a message to the college football world that, yeah, we lost the game on the road in a tough environment where we made a lot of mistakes. But look how we just bounced back. And we just spanked TCU. We're back. We're in great shape. Then they go on the road to Cincinnati, and they win that game, regardless of how big a win that is. And then they come home, and they spank Central Florida. I think that's enough if they have a close game against Texas Tech that they'd still have the possibility of getting an at-large bid. So that's kind of the pathway I see for them. And do I think they're capable of all of that? Yeah, I absolutely do. After watching the film of Texas Tech, BYU is a lot closer to Texas Tech from a talent perspective than people think because of the score. When you watch how they lost, you understand that they didn't get beat up at the line of scrimmage. They had quite a few little assignment errors on offense that against a really great defense you can't have because they make you grind. They make you earn it. You make a few mistakes. One guy doesn't do something, you know, another guy doesn't do something on the next play and you're behind the chains with a freshman quarterback. You have issues. And I think there's some things they can do different offensively the next time if they play these guys again. That would make a difference. In watching the defense, I thought the defense was even better than I had originally thought after watching the film. So it wasn't like Iowa State a couple years ago where I walked out and went, wow, Iowa State just beat the crap out of BYU. It wasn't that at all. You watch the film and you go, okay, physically they matched up pretty good. They have some things they can clean up, and that's good. When you come out of a game and you lose, but you look at it and go, oh, you're a few plays away from being in this game and a few big plays of maybe being able to compete with these guys if you don't turn the ball over three times, twice really deep in your own territory, that this team is beatable. And that's how I felt after watching the film.
Blaine Fowler is with us on BYU Sports Nation, national champion, dual threat analyst of football and basketball. One more football question before we get into the basketball tonight, Blaine. And that is, I can't help but feel like Texas Tech put out a blueprint of how to slow down Bear Bachmeier and his run game and how to keep BYU's offense at bay. And a team like TCU or Cincinnati might look at that and say, okay, well, that's what we should do to beat BYU. How do you see BYU combating that idea?
Well, it's one thing to say we saw what Texas Tech did, and it's another thing to actually have the guys to do it. So TCU and Cincinnati and Central Florida don't have the front seven that Texas Tech does. And what Texas Tech did was they decided, hey, we're going to stop the run, and including the quarterback run game. We're going to be really, really aggressive, and we're like going to double dog dare them to try to throw the ball early in this game. And if they stick to the run game, we make it tough on them, and we get some breaks, we're going to get out in front, and then they're going to have to throw the ball kind of to get back in the game. It was a great game plan. I'm just not so sure that TCU has the horses on defense to stymie BYU and stop them from running. Now keep in mind, TCU's not bad in terms of rush defense. They're 35th in the country. They give 124 yards a game. But in pass defense, they're 101st in the country. And we're talking about a Texas Tech team that's number one in the country in defensive efficiency and number one in rush defense. That's not who TCU is this Saturday night. So BYU's going to have more opportunities, especially opportunities to push the ball up the field in the pass game. You can say, yeah, Texas Tech showed the formula, but the formula doesn't work if you don't have Texas Tech's guys. And nobody in this league on defense has Texas Tech's guys. The closest to that in this league is BYU's defense.
And I love that because it's going to be a fun matchup. Let's talk men's hoops. BYU taking on Delaware tonight. Oh, by the way, third-ranked UConn coming up Saturday in Boston. That's one of the biggest regular season games BYU's played in a long time. We were talking about. What does BYU need to do tonight against Delaware to continue preparation for a massive game with the Huskies?
Yeah, it feels like to me in the first couple of games that they've been kind of rushing and not quite understanding where their shots are coming from on the perimeter. And I have every confidence from being at practice. And Kevin Young's told me this is going to be a very good perimeter shooting team. There's no question when we had the dunkathon going on the other night that this team can go attack the paint and they can get to the rim and they can finish and nobody can stay in front of Rob Wright and nobody can stay in front of AJ. But it's also very obvious that as teams start to kind of collapse into the paint and say, okay, BYU's so good, we got to help inside. We're gonna dare them to shoot outside shots because they haven't shown yet. Yeah, they may skip all protocol, go right to the double dog dare, and if they miss a few, they're gonna triple dog dare.
Oh my! I
believe it or not, and BYU hasn't shown so far that they're gonna knock down open shots and knock down these looks on a consistent basis from the outside. So I would like to see tonight those guys feel more comfortable in where their shots are coming from, where, okay, if this gets kicked back out to me, I'm going to take my time and stay fundamentally in my shooting form and knock this shot down. And they need guys to make those. They need Davis to make it. They need Baker to make those shots. They need Richie to consistently make those shots. And he's dual because he can drive and he can kick as well. They actually need Rob Wright when they back off of him to knock down some outside shots. The difference between this team being a team that can go compete and try to get into a Final Four versus just a really good team is going to be their ability to knock down shots. So I want to see them make progress tonight with that, because I want them to send a message to UConn that, hey, don't think that you could just pack the paint and let us have open threes, because if you do, we're going to knock them down. You better be more balanced with your defensive preparation. And I'd like them to show that tonight. So outside shooting, comfortability, is that even a word, Jeremy? You're like my wordsmith.
Comfortness-esque, I think, is the phrase.
Okay, yeah, they have to have some comfortness-esque. Yeah, comfortability. I don't even know how to say it, but you know what? I want to see
it. It's okay. You said it on TV. It's fine.
Yeah, it is a word, good. Blaine. It's comfortability. Comfortability.
There
yes.
There it is. That's the word I'm looking for. I want to see some of that tonight.
Comfortability. Blaine, he is the fun uncle or the fun cole on BYU Sports Nation. Great to have you with us, man.
Thanks, guys.
Join Blaine, Dave, and David for a comfortable lead after further review as the crew looks back on some of the most impactful plays in BYU's loss. Texas Tech, TCU coming up Saturday tonight, 7 Eastern on the BYU TV app.
Comfortability.
Sure.
Special rise and shout out coming up next. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Whatever you say, man.
State of being comfortable.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory.
Welcome back with our question of the day. ESPN giving BYU football a 45% chance to make the college football playoff. Are you more or less confident than that 45% mark, and why? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory, in from at H. Surin, who says, ask me after tonight's college football playoff updated ranking. That will be highly indicative if a loss in the conference championship game would still get BYU in. If BYU's not lower than 11, winning out even without winning the conference championship game should get us in. If BYU is at 12 or worse, chances are lower than 45%.
The good news is there's still 3 games left and conference championship week. There's a lot of carnage that could happen.
I fully expect it too. Today's Rise and Shoutout presented by Mountain America, official credit union of BYU Athletics.
It's Veterans Day, so of course, Rise and Shoutout to all those who are currently serving, protecting, have even thought about it, will do it in the future. We recognize and appreciate all of your service, specifically here at BYU Broadcasting, our own. Chuck Sims, our systems administrator. Dale Green, chief videographer. You've seen a ton of his work on this program. Gary Moss, our senior broadcast engineer, and Stephen Enfield, who's in charge of lighting and set design. What you see here, the lighting, that's his work.
That's his guy.
Thank you specifically to those in our building who have done that.
Fantastic. Love giving those specific shout-outs. And our thanks to today's guests, Brian Keel and Blaine Fowler. Stay tuned to BYU TV for today's BYU Devotional, featuring former BYU soccer player and current general authority 70 elder B. Corey Cuvillier.
He did some BYU men's soccer games with me on BYU TV back in the day. Started Dennis.
Fantastic. For Jeremiah, I'm Spencer. We'll see you for after further review as well. And basketball tonight, go Cougs.